This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. He is the Commissioner of Dirt, known really far beyond the boundaries of the 100 valleys of the Umpqua.
Oh,
people can listen to this program in multiple countries.
Yeah.
And in fact, this station is heard sometimes in various other countries. Just picked up a listener in Finland a couple weeks ago.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. He actually sent a little audio clip of us being heard in Finland.
I wonder if he listens to my show.
No, I don't know. He was listening to Coast to Coast late at night. Yeah, there you go. So that anyway. Mike Winters here, and of course your lawn and garden questions welcome. And I see that we kind of have this back and forth with the weather right now.
No kidding.
Yeah, last weekend when I was out walking, I was getting blown around during one of the windstorms a couple times, and I wanted to get some extra mileage in, and I did, but then I started getting rained on, but then it quit. So I only got sprinkled on for about 5 minutes, and that was okay. But we've gone from Saturday and Sunday both. Actually, Saturday, while I was doing by my street, I was contemplating quitting, and I decided, no, I got to do 3 more miles. And my wife saw me, and actually the big tree in the backyard, two or three big, huge limbs, not huge limbs, but medium-sized limbs, about that big. So mm-hmm. I've got a big mess sitting by the deck that I still got to dewater.
Off your big maple?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're ones that just got loosened up along the way.
Jeez.
And they came off, so the rest of the yard, was fine.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone from days where you think, oh, I should water. It's like, no, it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah, right. The problem is when it rains, it only rains about a tenth of a tenth of an inch. It's not a rain. It's like, let's see, it's moist. Yeah, okay. when it rains, I want it to rain like 2 inches and then quit for a week.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. Because we are still far behind on our precipitation. So if you do have a question, though, 673-4464 is the number that will get you in here to answer that question. And as you talked about the Finland guy. One day I had a call from a guy from Daphne, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And years ago, and he asked about his magnolia trees and how to prune his magnolias in Daphne, and I was cracking up. You're listening to this show from Daphne's? Yeah. And so I guess he did it on 541radio.com.
Right.
But thank you for listening. And
which, by the way, for people getting ready for vacations and things.
Vacations?
I know. It's a concept some people have. Yeah. In the future, you can actually be on vacation in whatever time zone you're in. Just think about it, and you can listen to Mike Winters Live while you're on a trip somewhere sometime.
Yeah, and you can identify the trees that are whizzing by your car at 70 miles an hour,
Or 65 if you're driving legally.
Yeah, like I drive 60, so I know I'm legal. And everybody piles up behind me and goes, "Who is that old booger going?"
Is that Wintergreen Nursery rig again?
I know.
Up on the hillside.
Well, anyway, this is supposed to be an educational show. I don't know how much education you've gotten on the last 3 or 4 minutes, but
oh boy!
But you never know. But I get these trade magazines every month. Landscape management and nursery management and this and this and that and all that. But the thing that's cool, they have the top 100 landscape companies in the United States. And the first number one company is in a little town in Pennsylvania. And it shows how much money they grossed like in 2019, how many employees they have, where are they from, blah, 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 blah. And number one on the list was, I can't even remember the name now, but they grossed $2,400,000,000 in landscape construction work in Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know if they stay in Pennsylvania, but that's where their headquarters in Pennsylvania. And $2 billion, with a B, $400 million last year in landscaping. and they have 21,500 employees. So if you think that landscapers are just like me and 10 other guys here in Douglas County, that's because we live in a very rural place. And, you know, it's we'd be hard pressed. I'd have to hire all of Roseburg to work for me to get to this guy's employee level. So I thought that was pretty cool. And there are, I think there were four or five Oregon landscape companies on the list, somewhere in the middle of the pack. But the number 100 was a Portland landscape company, and they did a mere $24 million worth of landscape work in Portland. So, you know, landscaping, I don't think I'll ever achieve those kinds of numbers here in Douglas County, and I don't intend to move to Portland. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, what's going on out there in the plant world, in the landscape world. It seems to really have caught on in certain parts of the country. So, but at any rate, those are kind of interesting numbers to mull around in. And every time I look at the numbers, I go, wow, how can that be? What did they do? How did they manage all that stuff? You know, it's like, blows my mind, at least. So, today I'm going to talk about some indoor plants and how to take care of indoor plants, and some of my favorites, or at least the ones I like to mess with, I guess, and prune, and you know, I've got some bonsai that are indoor plants as well that I'll talk about. But, you know, I'm not much for indoor plants. I mean, they're okay, and some of them are kind of cool, but most of them, I, you know, okay, that's an indoor plant, and some people like this and some people like that. We don't carry a lot of indoor plants at our in our floral shop, but we have a few, and I try to make them as strange as possible, or different as possible. How's that? That would be a better term. But there are a few I do like and actually grow because they are unique and they're easy to grow with little care. And excuse me, that's the kind that I favor. And my number one on my list of indoor plants is the Norfolk Isle pine. Norfolk Island pine. It's like the prime indoor Christmas tree. And it grows wild in Hawaii, like Douglas fir grows in Douglas County, Oregon. And they get, you know, fairly big. And I don't think they make lumber, and they don't cut them for lumber, obviously, in Hawaii. But that makes a great indoor Christmas tree, if you will, because they are so symmetrical. They look like a Christmas tree, and they're tougher than nails. I mean, it doesn't seem like anything that hurts them at all. But I first saw them in Hawaii back when I was in the Marine Corps station there. And my wife and I were driving around the island, and we got over by the Dole Pineapple Company, which is, I think, on the north end of the island, way out there. And we were pulled into the Dole Pineapple Company and the headquarters, where you can get free pineapple samples and all that kind of stuff. And I saw these really cool trees, like on a border, or like a like a grove of them, few hundred yards away, and I thought, man, those are cool. I wonder what they are. I didn't think fir trees or whatever grew in Hawaii. And so I asked somebody, and they said, oh, those are Norfolk Isle pines. But they don't look like a pine. They have a short needle. They look more like a fir. But the Norfolk Isle pine is where what they named them many, many years ago. And but I've since seen them in Mexico, and I've seen them in Guatemala, and I'm sure they can be found, you know, down in Central and South America, growing naturally, growing wild in their habitat. But they are native to Norfolk Island, which is near Australia, and I have yet to look on my world atlas to see where Norfolk Island is. I don't know what end of Australia it might be, but in their native habitat, they can grow to be 100 feet tall, and they are like pyramidal in shape. They're a very attractive tree, And, of course, as a potted plant, don't expect a 100-foot tree in a large pot. They could, indoors, they could reach, 6 to 8 feet over a long, long time. And I've seen them 5 and 6 feet in different business establishments or, I think, in a home or two, I've seen, some fairly good-sized ones, but certainly not 8 feet. But they're very stately. And what's cool about them, you don't have to ever buy another Christmas tree again. You just put some lights on them in December, call it good, and take the lights off in January, and the tree just keeps on going. And like I say, they're tough. It seems like nothing hurts them. And, over water would, obviously, but they like this real rich humus-type material for soil because they have to have good drainage. It likes sun, so it can go out on the deck in the summer, but when the temperature drops, they need to go back indoors. And when I say drops, if it gets down into like 38 or 39 degrees, I wouldn't let them stay out on the patio or the deck. I would bring them back in, but put them by the window so they can get some light during the winter, whatever light there's available, and they can stay warm. And watering is barely damp. Fertilization is like a Miracle-Gro kind of fertilizer, once in a while, maybe once every couple of months. They don't seem to need much, and they just do good. They don't grow really quickly. I think on average, I've seen them grow about 5 or 6 inches a year. Maybe not average. Maybe that was a good year, but I've seen them grow as little as 2 inches in a year. And I used to have a lot of them. Not a lot of them. But, half a dozen in the nursery, but didn't seem like there was much of a market for them. So as the original group kind of got used and sold and found new homes, we never ordered any again. But I'm looking forward to getting a few back into the nursery. And like I say, it likes a damp soil, but not saturated. It's not a swamp creature like a willow. And then you want to give it the liquid fertilizer, like I say, every month, maybe every 2 months, and it makes it easy. Now, if this tree, if you plan on keeping it a long time and you have a fairly good-sized pot, maybe 18 inches in diameter and 18, 20 inches deep, it can reach a pretty significant height. But that pot is very, very heavy. And if you ever want to put it outside, you need to get something like a with little wheels on it so that you can put the pot on this little wheeled platform, if you will, and you can push it outside or push it back inside. Otherwise, you're not going to move it around a lot. Another wild, fast-growing indoor plant is a philodendron. Now, philodendrons have these giant, giant leaves, maybe a foot long and 8 inches wide, maybe even more than a foot, some of them. And they're highly serrated. In other words, it looks like green fingers growing off the out of the middle of the leaf. And I like the tree form of it because it has the largest leaves, and which I've found growing wild in the jungles of Guatemala, of all places. And I was walking around one afternoon after we were done working, and I go down all these little roads, and I'm looking at all this foliage that I go, wow, that's an indoor plant where we live. And I look up in this treetop, and there's this philodendron clear up in this treetop, maybe 40 feet, 50 feet up in the tree, and I can see the leaves. And then I look for the main stem or the main trunk of it, and it's pretty good size, but it vined all the way up this natural jungle tree. And then as I started looking around, I saw more and more of them, and they're just growing like weeds down there, whereas up here they're basically qualified as an indoor plant because the winter would obviously knock them out. But if you had a building, whether it's a home or an office or a show place or whatever, and had tall ceilings, you could they could grow all day to the top and go all the way up there, and it would be a real a real dynamic look to the interior of your building. but they're difficult to prune down when they're wrapped up in your trusses and things like that, and they have a tendency to bleed white sap. So you have to cauterize when you cut them. You have to cauterize the wound immediately, or all this white sap comes out and just drips down and weakens the plant. So we got a break, don't we?
We do.
I knew that.
All right, back with more in a moment. Mike Winters, the Commissioner of Dirts. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, 421 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hi there. On your way home, drive carefully. A busy afternoon. Number of accidents today. We'll tell you about one of them, unfortunately, to begin the afternoon report at 5 with Douglas County's news team. But indeed, for some reason today, we've had quite a few wrecks around town. So be careful out there. Mike Winters here, though, with you safely.
Yes, I'm not driving anything.
That's right. We don't let him drive and talk on the radio at the same time.
Yeah, because these earphones wouldn't reach with their cord. Anyway, I was talking about giant largely philodendrons there for a big building with a tall roof that would do really well. And again, they're a simple plant to keep growing. They're, of course, the loose, rich soil and the consistent watering is the best care for the plant. And I said consistent, not constant. So keep that in mind. And they do well with sunlight and temperatures, say around 70. And this is a a tough plant, requires very little care. And you'd be amazed at how long it'll grow and how long it will live. And it just does a great job. But you have to have a fairly large space for it because it likes to stretch out. Now, there are other varieties of philodendrons that have smaller leaves and stay a little tamer and all that, but they're not as showy or, you know, when you get a leaf that's a foot long with and 8 inches wide and it's got these fingers all through it and stuff, it's kind of impressive, you know? It's different. And you don't see as many around as we once was, probably 20, maybe 30 years ago, it seemed to be like the thing to have in your house, but who knows. And my third pick for today, of course, is the poinsettia. And, you know, this is the Christmas red-leafed Christmas plant that everybody buys at Christmas time because it's the holiday season and it's bright and brightens up the house and all that kind of stuff. But you can, the problem is when after Christmas, a lot of folks don't take proper care of them. So the leaves start turning kind of brown and shriveled up and a lot of them end up in the trash. And it's a shame because they don't have to land in the trash. If you convert them to a house plant, they grow every year. They get larger every year, and they turn colors every November, December, and January. So you can have a constant poinsettia plant in there. And there was two poinsettias, actually three, but there's two poinsettias I gave to friends that owned businesses years ago. And they were still in bloom with their bright red leaves. It was like, 2 weeks before Christmas. And they repotted them after Christmas. I told them how to take care of them, do this. And if you repot them, you can grow them as indoor plants. Well, that's exactly what they did. And that was like 3 years ago, I believe, or 4 years ago. I gave them the first one, and then I gave them another one the next year. But now they went from a poinsettia that was like, 12 inches, 18 inches tall, to a poinsettia that's 3 feet tall. And I was in their office the other day, and it had new red leaves all over it. It was a perfect little spot. And they've got two of them in there, and the big, fairly large pots. They can't move them around a lot. But they're right there by a west-facing large window, so they get plenty of sunlight. And they're doing really well. And They take care of them like I told them to take care of them. The plants look healthy, and so I know they're a long-term plant, provided you you do it right. And the other plant that I gave to a friend of mine, he owned a business in downtown Roseburg when there were businesses downtown Roseburg, and I gave it to him for Christmas, and he said, well, what do I do with this? How do I, you know, take it home or throw it away or whatever? No, I said, no, get a nice pot, stick it in there. So he did that, and he put it in his front window. And his front window on Jackson faced east, so it got a lot of morning sun. And apparently it really liked it, and it started growing. It just was growing very quickly, and he basically ignored it because he had other plants in his office, and he had this indoor plant service. A couple of ladies here in Roseburg had an indoor plant service, and they went to all the businesses and took care of their plants and watered, fertilized, sprayed, pruned, you know, that kind of thing, like an indoor landscape company. And when they came into his office, they saw this new poinsettia sitting there, and it was still, you know, relatively small at the time. He just planted it, and they said, oh, that won't last. That's going to die. They don't like this, and they don't like that, and, you know, so he related that story to me. Well, year after year, as this plant got larger, after about 4 years, it was about 4 feet wide and about 4 feet tall, and it filled the whole front window of his office. And every November, December, when it started getting dark early and, you know, it was cloudy and dark, the leaves, of course, would turn red and really look good again. So they are a long-term plant if you treat them correctly. If you treat them as an indoor plant, you know, you can put them outside in the summer in a pot. That's fine. They're not going to survive the winter, so you don't even want to do that. But they usually grow, not quite a foot a year if you treat them correctly, and you can prune them, and they're fine, and they look good, and they are really, really tough. It's you don't have to overwater it or anything like that. It's a pretty tough in that respect, and they grow wild from Mexico into South America, and are not considered anything but brush down there because they do grow wild. And so when you see some that are along the roadside and the road crews come through and cut them down with weed eaters or weed whackers or chainsaws or whatever, they just come roaring back as soon as the brush cutters leave. I mean, they just come running back and they look good and they start to grow again. So, like, I guess one man's weed is another man's exotic plant. And they're nice. They're different. And like I say, we have one in the nursery right now that was left over from Christmas. It's fairly large, not height-wise, but it's probably about 2 feet wide. And it's still colored up. It's still a deep red. There's green leaves on it, but there's deep red. And then in the red leaves, there are white spots. It's very, very attractive plant, and it's kind of a darker red than normal. It's not what your normal poinsettia you'd find in one of the box stores or something like that. This is kind of a rare one, and I'm just waiting to see how long it's going to last. And we've got it in our nursery showroom, and it's just sitting there. Nobody's really paying any attention to it, which I'm good with that. They can ignore it and leave it alone, and we'll see what it does the rest of the year. I may have a totally different report on it by July or August. Who knows? But anyway. my other favorite plant, and I'm talking about the ones that I work with, I'm talking about the ones that I really like. There's a lot of them I think, okay, they're fine, but and they're not my cup of tea. But bougainvillea is, again, one of those tropical, fast-growing, viney kind of plants that just have outrageous colorful flowers on them most of the summer, and most of the summer around here. But I've had some of mine when I put them in the greenhouse, because they're not an outdoor plant. I have them outside with my bonsais in the spring and the summer, and then as soon as the temps start to drop and the days get rainy and cold, we put them in the greenhouse, and they do really fine. We do not heat the greenhouse or very, very small amount of heat. And it sometimes gets about 39 degrees in the greenhouse, but the plants do all right. As long as it doesn't drop down to about 30, you're good to go. But I've taken these bonsai, and these bougainvillea, and actually bonsai them. In other words, I cut them short. I whacked them the first time way down to where they're just sticks, and just to see if, are they tough enough to push again? Are they tough enough to really grow and do that? And they are. Amazingly, they are. And they're fairly fast growing, but in a bonsai pot, which is very shallow, maybe 4 inches, 3 to 4 inches deep, and that's all the root they have. So I mound them up in the pot, and that, of course, slows their growth down. And then they're more prunable. They're more apt to be shaped and kept in that shape, because the root can't grow anywhere. If it was in the ground in like Mexico or somewhere, it would grow like poison oak or blackberries. I mean, it would just grow, and that's why they cut them down along the roadways out there, because they get in the way. And but they're the ones that I have, I've been working with them, I think about 10 years, maybe a little bit more. And I think I only have two or three of them left. I've sold a few. But they're quite mature, and they're beautiful with color. And like I say, they're definitely an indoor-outdoor plant here in Oregon. Spring, mine are outside now, and they'll stay outside until, mid-October of the coming year, and then gets a little cool. We stick them in the greenhouse where they got plenty of sun, and the temperatures, even in the wintertime, if the heat's not on in the greenhouse, but the sun comes out and we've closed the greenhouse doors to retain heat, it'll still get 67 degrees in there without any heat on, simply because of the radiation from the sun. But these bonsai bougainvillea that I have, they are very, very, they're long blooming. They come on with, mine are kind of a pinkish, the blooms are kind of pinkish, lavender, pinkish lavender. I don't know what color that would be, but I'm sure somebody knows out there. And they line along the stem, and mine almost bloom almost all year round. And they're really, really, really pretty out there. Then, like I say, and if you're in the house, in your home, they make a nice indoor plant in a sunny windowsill for the winter. And they do very well in containers. So, and just like I say, make sure the container doesn't weigh so much that one person can't lift it and move it around when the seasons change. I mean, that's a good idea. You can leave it in a small pot. You can keep it pruned. You can keep it to the size you want. It's not a biggie. And the reason I did several bonsai bougainvillea, I just wanted to see if it could survive in a small bonsai dish with severe pruning and shaping. Because when I whack on stuff, I do a pretty formidable job. And you can ask Kyle about that, because I whacked his Japanese maple this last year pretty significantly. But now you can actually see the stems. Now you can actually see how the trunk twists and everything else. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it looks really nice now. It's really, I wish I would get, one of the things I wish we would have done for both the front and backyard is a before and after picture.
Well, why didn't you do that?
Because I was at work.
Well,
I didn't really think. I thought about it a few days later. I thought, oh, this would look really good, because the contrast with everything that was done was huge. But looking at the Japanese maple then, I'm like, oh.
I know. You kind of were a little sad.
And before, it looked like an overgrown plant that needed a haircut.
Yeah. It was just totally red and round and down to the ground.
Yeah. Now it looks really cool. It's smaller, but it'll get back. It'll grow bigger. And it looks really nice.
Yeah. But see how the stems and the branches are, they twist around. And they're very artistic in that respect. So you don't. We'll keep it pruned that way, so that you don't have to have a big, round, bushy red plant.
And I don't know how long it's been there. We've been there 27 years. It was already, it already was very well established when
really?
We moved in.
Huh.
So it had been there a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised it's not larger. Of course, well, maybe I'm not knowing how your yard work is.
I believe that means, it's time for a break. Enough of that for, oh boy. 437 and Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Around the 100 valleys of the Umpqua, you're tuned to the Commissioner of Dirt disseminating. I just blew that whole I just blew that whole break. I was trying to
Good.
Here's Mike Winters.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. I appreciate the introduction.
I'll go sit quietly at my desk.
Golly. Anyway, I was talking about Bougainvillea in the last segment, and like I said, I wanted to see if it would survive in a small bonsai dish and severe with the severe pruning and blah blah blah. And you know, here I am 10 years later, and they're still, you know, doing well and blooming. They're gorgeous little trees. And the thing about it, my first encounter with Bougainvillea was in Cabo San Lucas about 25 years ago. We were riding a taxi or whatever, a bus from the airport to Cabo, which is about 20 miles, and they had four-lane freeway, not like I-5, but in, you know, from the Mexican perspective, it was a freeway, and we're going along there, and they had kind of sloping banks, and we're going by, and I'm looking out the window at all the vegetation. This is desert. And I'm seeing these beautiful, beautiful shrubs there that are just in full bloom. They're like kind of pinkish blooms. And then there's a crew up there with weed eaters and chainsaws, and they're cutting them all down. I'm thinking, what in the world are they doing? Well, they were growing too close to the road. And, so they were cleaning up the roadways. They were doing the road work just like we do road work here. But I didn't know what the heck they were. I says, Mary Ann, what in the world are those things? She says, Bougainvillea. I says, Bougainvillea. So I finally know what a Bougainvillea is. So anyway, when I got back to our home, I did some more investigation on the Bougainvillea, and that's when I got started on it, because here it's definitely an indoor plant, outdoor summer, indoor winter. And they're just neat plants. And if you have any plant skills at all, you won't have any problem growing these things. I would not suggest it to someone who's never worked with indoor plants, especially this one, because they're fairly expensive to get and to begin with. So, but these guys are quite popular in warm, non-frosty places like Southern California, Arizona, Mexico, and then further south down probably into South America, all of Central America. And I've seen them growing in the wilds, and they can get pretty wild, because they just grow very, very quickly. And in researching these Bougainvillea this past week, you know, dumb old me in the nursery business, I think, well, there's a Bougainvillea, right? Well, I get into the books, and I start looking, and I counted 43 varieties of Bougainvillea in my Sunset Garden book. 43 varieties, and you know, they have all these colors, more colors than you can even imagine. And it's just like, man, I didn't know all these existed. I don't even know where anybody would buy one of what they're talking about. I'm sure that in the Portland area, or maybe Seattle, or you know, even maybe Eugene, they're probably a nursery or two or a florist shop that has different varieties of it. And I'm going to explore the next time I go that far north, just to see what's what and where's it going. But again, they are a tough plant, and they're a beautiful plant, and they're just something that will doll up the place as far as a patio plant or one that's by the living room window during the winter. Now, another toughie is a rubber tree. It's again, and I'm only talking about the tough ones. I'm talking about the ones that I've actually worked with that I haven't killed through kindness or neglect. And I've tried to neglect them on purpose just to see what the just see how far I could go before they started looking bad. And because it's always easier to bring them back from the brink of destruction than it is if you overwater them or over fertilize them. That's kind of the killer right there. So I know not to do that, but let's see how much neglect they can actually take. Because when I have them for sale inside our florist area, and somebody comes in and says, "Oh, geez, that's a nice indoor plant," and I give them some basic instructions, or whoever sells it to them gives them some basic instructions on how to take care of it, I have a good feeling that that plant will survive even with a novice plant person. And that's what you want. You don't want to sell a plant and have somebody come back in 2 weeks and say, "That plant I bought here died." Well, we had it here for 3 years and it didn't die, but you took it for 2 weeks and it died. What did you do? And, well, I watered it every day, you know. And that's usually the big killer. Always is seems like it's over water, unless it's a willow tree or, you know, something along those lines that grow in swamps. And but at any rate, the rubber trees, they're very good. They're very tough. Make a great, great indoor plant. And they have those large, shiny leaves. They're no serrations or anything, but they're, oh gosh, at least a foot long, or even more. And they're, you know, 6-8 inches wide. And they're dust accumulators because of the wide leaves. And you have to kind of dust them off once in a while, just a few times a year with a soft rag and some water, and just kind of just wipe them clean so they can actually breathe. And give it a shot of liquid fertilizer once a month in the spring and the summer. And really, they just grow, and they just look good. They're a non-trouble type small tree, if you will, but they don't stay small in the natural. they pretty much grow on their own. But I found out that they can grow tall. So you want to give them room to stretch out, and you don't want to put them right next to a piece of furniture that's going to stop their growth or slow their growth. But in the wilds, the rubber plants, rubber trees, they grow wild in India and Malaysia and in Hawaii. I've seen them in Hawaii. And they'll grow quite large up in their natural habitat to 60 to 80 feet tall. And then they went on to say that they'll even grow taller in tropical rainforests. Well, maybe that's, you know, Brazil or, you know, somewhere down in South America or Malaysia where it rains, you know, 300 inches a year and you've got all these wild plants growing. But, you know, I was trying to imagine a 60 to 80 foot rubber tree, for crying out loud. But they make it. They do it. That's how they are. And one of the easiest, we're going to get into easy. One of the easiest indoor plants.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Well, I want to impress upon you, if you wanted an indoor plant, that I didn't want you to kill it. So I want you to know what the easiest to grow is: a jade plant. You know what a jade plant is?
No.
Ricky over in the corner of the building over there with all the plants on her windowsill, she has a jade plant. You ought to go over and look at her indoor collection. She's got quite a collection.
I think her plants got moved yesterday.
Some of them did. Yeah.
I see.
But they're still there. I just looked at them before the show. But jade plants are easy. Even you could grow one.
I don't think we have any indoor plants.
Well, you ought to get a I'll bring you one. I'll give you a baby jade plant, and we'll see how long it lasts at your house. You don't have to do anything to it, really. It's just a real tough plant. It's one of the best to survive neglect. So you're in like
Flint.
And
again, you look at me.
Yeah, but that's in my notes.
Four.
I didn't have you in mind.
49. Mike Winters, the Commissioner of Dirt. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, back. Final segment coming up on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. He is the Commissioner of Dirt, and you're on the radio. Do you have a question for Mike Winter's this afternoon?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. I'm ready.
Oh, hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hey, you guys are talking about stuff that's a little bit different, I guess. So I got a question about, I guess you'd call them a monkey puzzle tree bush.
Oh, yeah, a monkey puzzle tree, right.
Yeah, so anyway, I planted it a couple years ago. It was about 4 feet tall, maybe grew close to 6 inches a foot in the past 2 years, was doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
This year it started turning brown from the bottom up. Is it getting too much water? Is it need some kind of fertilizer? It looks like it's about, I don't know if it's dying, if it can come back, or what's going on.
Is it in a lawn situation or like in a planting bed?
It's in a planter bed next to some roadies and stuff. The only water it gets is basically from the irrigation system.
Uh-huh. And how often is the irrigation system on?
Oh, I don't know. This time of year, it's not really on, but during the summer, maybe, you know, every other day, 15 minutes or so.
Yeah. Well, that's probably too much, but, you know, it doesn't need all that. But I had one just the opposite. I put it down on my field that, with no irrigation, and it was good for 3 or 4 years, and then it started turning brown, and so I started watering it, and it even got browner. So I don't know what in the heck killed it. But once they start to turn brown, is it like starting at the bottom and kind of going up the tree?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what happened to mine, and I tried everything I knew to try to save it, because it was, I don't know, I had been in the ground 3 or 4 years and was fine, and all of a sudden, bango, it starts this brown thing, and I couldn't save it. So I honestly have no real idea on why that's happening. It could be a fungus in the root system. You know, they're a tough tree. They normally... You can normally just ignore them, and they grow they grow quickly. Once they're established, they just grow quickly and do a great job for you. So,
yeah, it's been ignored for a couple of years and was doing fine, and then it hasn't had any water put to it yet this year, as far as
right.
other than natural, and it's just about halfway up brown. So, sounds like there's no saving it.
Well, yeah, but keep it for a while. Don't just yank it out. Let's see what happens to it. Maybe give me a call in another month or maybe 2 months, or call me at the office and let me come out and just take a look at it. You know, you don't give me your address on the air here, but just call my office and maybe I can find something wrong with it if I'm looking at it and inspecting it.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate your help.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mike Winters there, solving another interesting situation.
Yeah.
Very good.
I know. And the same thing happened to mine, and it was doing well. Now, I went to another person's house, a friend of mine, and their monkey puzzle, gosh, it must be 15 feet tall. It's just beautiful, growing really well. And some of them I see around town are enormous, and I'm thinking, why would mine, you know, grow for 3 years and all of a sudden turn brown and die? I had no clue to it. I just couldn't figure it out. But maybe I'll learn. I don't know. Hopefully I will. And anyway, I was talking about rubber trees, and then I was talking about jade plants. And let's see, jade plants. Yeah, this is for the non-plant person who doesn't know anything about plants. Buy
again,
one.
He's looking at me.
Well, I have to look somewhere. and if you water it every once in a while, it'll grow. It'll do its thing. You don't have any problem. It's in a succulent family, by the way. And like my old professor in college used to tell us, plants grow in spite of us, not because of us, and I believe that for the most part. But the jade plant will stay small in a small container, and then get large if you got a big pot. It'll get larger because the root system can't expand, and so therefore the plant expands. I've had one that I grew for a number of years that got up to about 3 feet tall and about 3 feet wide, and had about a four inch diameter trunk on it. It was gorgeous. And then some college kids bought it, and I don't know what ever happened to it. So But you can prune them into whatever shape you want. You can bonsai them. You keep them in a small pot, like I said, like a bonsai. And I've grown them in bonsai pots and kept them small. The large container, you're going to get a bigger plant. They have nice, bright green leaves. They're kind of chunky, thick. There's a word that I can't remember right now, but to describe that. But the nice bright green leaves give it a real unique look. And they are native to South Africa. And they're just another plant growing in the natural landscape out there. And they like a lot of sun, but not a lot of water. And like I say, it's the easy to grow indoor plant for the beginner with no experience. And once you get some experience in doing things like that, you can graduate to tougher plants, and it's a whole lot easier. And I've seen it used in Southern California as a hedge. I was walking down the street by Disneyland one day, and I looked over, and I said, well, that's a strange-looking hedge. And I looked closer, and it was a jade hedge. It was 4.5 feet tall and about 4 feet wide, growing along the sidewalk.
I just went and looked at the jade.
Oh, did you?
Plant. That is very small. It's a lot smaller than I was expecting.
Yeah, well, she rescued it. It's right. A rescue plant. I'll bring you one next week.
Okay.
I'll bring you one next week.
Interesting.
It'll be a gift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if you dies, you're on my bad list.
Yeah, boy. Kyle has killed another plant.
Yeah, he killed another plant. Well, he's going to pay for that one. But if you've never grown an indoor plant and you just don't know, the jade plant, like I say, is a good one to start with. And again, it's a no-brainer kind of thing. You don't water it all the time. You don't fertilize it all the time. It likes the sun. It likes a nice window to live in, or near a window so you can get some light. Again, it's one of those guys you can put outside. I got some outside in the on my back porch there at the nursery, the smaller ones, and keep them out there all summer, and then move them into the greenhouse for the winter, and they do really, really good. So, you know, try some of these things. You never know if you're going to succeed unless you actually try it. You know, have a positive outlook on that. So it's been great. I love it, and thank you for listening.
And where do people find you?
They can find us south of Winston, about a half a mile. We have big green roofs. You know, you can't miss us. We're across the street from Burke's old blue fruit stand, which is now red. And they used to grow hemp across the street. Now they're growing something else. So that's us. Can't miss us.
All right, back next week. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. It is 5 o'clock.